And although you are their true self, people in general fail to delight in you. Instead, they commit spiritual suicide by worshipping illusion. Alas, because they persistently hope for success in their devotion to the unreal, they continue to wander about this greatly fearful world, assuming various degraded bodies. Purport. It's kind of a long purport. I'll read the 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraph, which is what I'm going to focus on today. One's material body is destined to remain intact for only a short time. And so it is called Kulayam, subject to dissolving into the earth, Kauliyate. Nonetheless, if properly utilized, it can be one's best friend. When one is immersed in material consciousness, however, the body becomes a false friend, distracting the bewildered living entity from his true self-interest. Persons too much infatuated with their own bodies and those of their spouses, children, pets, and so on are in fact misdirecting their devotion to the worship of illusion, asatupasana. In this way, as the Shruti state here, such people commit spiritual suicide, ensuring future punishment for failing to carry out the high responsibilities of human existence. As the Ishopanishad declares, Asurya namate loka andhena tamasavritaha tamste pretyabhigachanti ye kechatmano janaha. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. Om jnanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guru venma. So I have a PowerPoint presentation. It's animated in parts. Just click on slide, that symbol, yeah, next to it, to the right of it. Yeah, that's the one. No? Okay, good. So the topic of today is kind of an ambitious topic, and I'm going to try and cover a lot of ground. Why the soul is absorbed in the body and what to do about it. So we are trying to understand, this is trying to develop an understanding of our situation. But to get that understanding, we have to define what's what. Like if you want to understand how gasoline works, you have to define what gasoline is, what gasoline is made of, how it burns, what the chemical reactions and so on. So in the same way, we have to understand ourselves. So that's why the next slide explains, it's animated, just keep clicking one after the other. So first of all, we are the soul, that's the spirit soul, all of us, each one of us is an individual spiritual entity. But, next, that soul is covered by a layer of the mind, the intelligence and the false ego. These are material things. And further it is covered by the body with the senses. So there is a subtle body and there is a gross body. Now, next, there are things called the sense objects. So everything in the world, anything and everything we are interacting with, can be classified into these five different types. There is the sense object of smell, the sense object of taste, form, touch and sound. So these are called sense objects. We can understand what they mean. But maybe it is harder to understand that actually anything and everything in existence is in these categories, in these five categories. All right. Now, the sense objects interact with the senses, our eyes, nose, hands, feet, all these things are interacting with the sense objects. And that signal, the sensing of these sense objects, is communicated to the next mind, the intelligence and the false ego, and ultimately to the soul. So this is the, in brief, the definition of who we are and how we are working. Now, the problem is, next slide, Prabhupada writes in the, this is the Prabhupada's translation of 5.8, 5.9. If you wanted to know what these senses are, the different types of, there are the working senses and the knowledge acquiring senses, memorize this verse. It's easy to remember. This is 5.8.9. Prabhupada says, a person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping, breathing, always knows he actually does nothing at all. What does this mean? Are we doing nothing at all when we are interacting with the sense objects? Are our lives virtually a waste of time? Yes, they are. We are doing nothing at all if we are not connecting with Krishna in whatever we do. The soul is not active necessarily when the senses are active and connecting with the sense objects, because the senses are not the soul, they are external to the soul. So that's why Prabhupada says, Krishna says, and Prabhupada's translating, because while speaking, evacuating, receiving or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses, only the material senses are engaged with their objects, and he's separate from them, from all this material life we are leading. It's quite astonishing knowledge. So next slide. So then if we are not the senses and we are separate, then why are we attached to the body so much? Why do we always think that we are the ones that are acting? Ahankar, Vimudatma. Why is it? So in the Madhya Lila, Prabhupada translates this verse 6.155. Although the living entity has the facility to live in this material or the spiritual world, he suffers the threefold miseries of material existence because he is influenced by the avidya, nations, potency, which covers his constitutional position. Actually, Krishna has three types of potencies, right? There are many, and I have given a lecture before on this, the different subtypes of potencies. But for now, three types of potencies. There is the Jiva Shakti, there is the Antaranga Shakti, Radharani, and then there is the Avidya Shakti. So this Avidya Shakti is what's covering the soul, and therefore the soul identifies with the senses, thinking that the soul is the senses. Okay. Now, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there is this sequence provided by Rupa Goswami. Avidya is ignorance. What is avidya? It is also a person, but it also is a mechanism which binds us to the material conception of life. Ignorance of what? The fact that we are the soul, that's the first, and the second is that we are Krishna's servants. There are two aspects to avidya. There is Krishna, so three, I guess, sambandha, avideya and prayojana. Then avidya, which is the root cause of all problems. All our problems stem from avidya. Okay, then from avidya comes bijam, which is desire. The desires, these are material desires, manogatan. These desires are born in the mind and we think they are ours. The soul thinks that they are ours because of avidya. So there are all kinds of desires that arise in the mind, and then that leads to action, which leads to reaction, and the reaction is called papam. Whether it's a pious reaction or an impious reaction, Rupa Goswami classifies these two types under papam, because they keep us bound in avidya, in the material world. Okay, next. So desire is a function of the mind, I said, and if you look at the 13 chapters, sorry, I neglected to put the verse, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms, all these are considered to be part of the body, the field of activities. Desire that's arising in the mind, the happiness and distress and hatred, all these things are functions of the mind. Material, we're talking about the material level. The soul also has desires, but we are discussing a specific type of function of the mind, thinking, feeling, willing. So willing, that's the function of the mind, that's the material desire we are talking about. Okay, this desire next has a different name, it's called lust. It's another name for material desire. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is this beautiful definition, the desire from the mind to gratify one's own senses is kama, lust. And the desire to please the senses of Lord Krishna is prema. Okay, so we had avidya, ignorance, that led to desires to enjoy the one's senses. Okay, next. This avidya, this desire is very dangerous. It's kind of the sub-mechanism, the next layer of mechanism that keeps us bound in the bodily conception of life. This is the third chapter, 37th verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world." So, this material desire, the lust, is coming from the mode of passion. although the mind comes from the mode of goodness, don't ask me why this is the case, but the lust is coming from the mode of passion. And when lust is not, that means the material desires in the mind are not satisfied, we become angry, frustrated. And so from not satisfaction and lust comes anger. It's transformed into anger. In the 16th chapter, Krishna says there are three enemies: Trividham Narkasyedam Dwaram Nashanam Atma. Kama, Krodha, Tatha, Lobha. He adds greed also. That's the third. But Kama, lust, anger, and Krodha. These are the three gates to hell. Okay, the next slide. Now, what the problem is that the lust further, like I said, aggravates the control of ignorance on us. So this avidya, which is the mechanism which keeps us locked in the body, when the lust is allowed a free rein, then it feeds back to further increase our ignorance. So this is how, this is the verse. Let's go next. This is 340. The senses, the mind and the intelligence are the sitting places of the lust. Although this lust originates from the mind, it radiates outward to the senses and also infects the intelligence. So through these three, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity, which is ignorance, avidya, and bewilders him. So next slide. This is the vicious cycle. Desire, lust, adds to ignorance, increases ignorance. Papam also increases ignorance. The prarabdha, aprarabdha, kuta, bija, all these karmas. So as a result, we become locked in a vicious cycle till somebody helps us break it. Next slide. So I just wanted to talk about the senses interacting with the sense objects. What does it mean? I said everything in existence, in our lives, is senses interacting with the sense objects, unless it's senses interacting with Krishna. So here is an example. There is a verse in the third chapter, Indriyasyandi sarthe raga dvesha vyavasthitau tayorna vashamagachitau hi hasa paripantinau. The sense objects, the quality of the material sense objects, sound, form, smell, is that attachment and raga dvesha, repulsion, that's what Prabhupada uses. Attachment and repulsion reside in these sense objects. That's a natural intrinsic quality of the sense objects. Attachment and repulsion. So here's an example. The form is a type of sense object. In a concrete way, it could be somebody's wife, somebody else's wife. Okay. And then there is attachment that arises. This is forbidden by scripture. This is not allowed. But still,